To 1 John 2:25. Today is a special day, isn't it? Resurrection Sunday, and the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And so it's also very interesting that in God's providence we come to 1 John 2:25, which is about eternal life. And so, for a few reasons today, I thought that I would slow down from typically the way we're just working through 1 John, and we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to talk about eternal life today. And I think that this also allows me to do something that I said I've been really desiring to do throughout our study, and that is walk us through what it's like to do a word study. And so this is just going to, I'm going to throw a few things together today. It's going to allow us to look at the concept of eternal life in John. And then it's going to give me an opportunity to walk you through how to do a word study. And then it's also hopefully going to allow me to finish early. And I have accountability right here and with you all that my alarm is going to go off when I need to land the plane. So don't be surprised. It's going to happen. So let's do this, though. Let's read 1 John 2:25 and just see what John says. And then I'm going to talk you through a bit about doing a word study. So here it is, 1 John 2:25. This is the promise which he made to us, eternal life. This is the promise which he made to us, eternal life. So in one sense, this whole lesson is going to be on that, those two words, eternal life. And the way that I want to go about this is I want to talk you through what a word study is. If you run across something like this in your Bible reading, in your Bible study, and you say, all right, I really need to know, what does John mean when he says eternal life? I want you to go out from today, not just knowing what John means by eternal life, but I also want you to go out today feeling that you are equipped to be able to do this on your own. And so when you run across a phrase like this or a word, that you have the confidence to say, all right, I can figure out by just doing a Bible study on this word or phrase. So really quickly, I'm going to run you through what we're going to do today. It's going to be 5 steps. And here they are. First thing you do in a word study is you want to find every, and I'll say it like this, original language use of the term. You want to find every time that the scripture writers used that specific Greek or Hebrew term. Now you may say, well, I don't know the original languages. Well, you don't have to. There are things called Strong's numbers. We'll talk about that in a moment. But you just want to find every time it's used. Second of all, you want to look at every occurrence of that word or phrase and see what it means in that context when you read it. And as you do that, one of the things that will develop as you look at verse after verse after verse is you will begin to notice what I call components of meaning. And that sounds weird, but here's all it's saying. Is as you look at the way that that word or phrase is used, you're going to find certain ideas that are emphasized over and over and over again. Then, after going through those, you're going to try to organize those. So you're going to say, oh, I find this idea emphasized again and again and again. I'm just going to write that down. I find this idea mentioned time and time again. Then you're going to go back through the verses, seeing, in essence, you're going to check your work. You're going to see if you actually do find those ideas over and over and over again like you thought you did. And then finally, you're going to bring all of those together and try to define and then explain what that term uses. Now, I'm going to go through all those again, but I just want to introduce you to what we're going to do. So here are, I'm going to give you 5 words that take you through those 5 steps, and then I'm going to do it with you with this concept of eternal life. So I'll give you the 5 words. The first is the word identify. Number 1 is identify. And this is where you're going to find every original language use of the term. Second is the word analyze. You're going to go through every occurrence. Third, you're going to organize those various meanings to in order to, at the very end, 4, confirm. confirm what you've been finding all throughout, and then number five, you're going to explain it. So I'm going to talk you through each of those. Let's begin with the first, identify. Find every original language use of the term. Now, one of the things that I just want to encourage you with doing a word study or a concept study like this, it is so easy for us, and I feel this too, in our day and age, to think that certain things like this require one of two things: advanced degrees or lots of money. You've got to have like a large library, you've got to buy a special Bible software, or you have to have gone to seminary for X many years. That really is not true. Everything I'm going to show you today, you can do for free, and you are able to do with the intelligence and the wisdom that God has given to you. So let me just show you this. I know my iPad's small. I'm going to take my notes away for a second. I've talked before about literal word. Literal word is not the only one that you can do this with, but I'm just going to show you. Here is, you know what, I'm going to make this big. All right, I just lost it. Now, 1 second. All right, so it's as big as I can make it. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. So I am just going to hold down eternal life. So the word eternal, there it is, aionios. All right, you know a Greek word right there. All I have to do, I've shown you this before, I just click right there. I find every time eternal is used in the New Testament. I don't even have to know how to pronounce it, but it shows me everything. Now, here's a secret that I've learned, is if I want to get another word, so in this case, I want to get life with it, I'm just going to copy. Up there it says G166. I don't need to know what that means, but that's a Strong's number. That's a Strong's number for the word eternal. So I just copied that word, and now what I'm going to do is I'm going to come over to life, and I'm going to find every time, sorry, 1 second, I'm going to find every time that life is used, just like that, 127 times. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to add eternal. I'm going to paste that word eternal. So I've got G222, that's life, and G166, which is the word eternal. So I found every time eternal and life are used in the same verse of the scripture, right there. So what that allowed me to do is just go through and look at every time eternal life is used. Now, I, for the purpose of this study, we want to see what John is saying with eternal life. So I limited this to just the times that John used the phrase eternal life. So what I did is I took that and I limited it to the times where John does, so the Gospel of John and 1 John. And here's what I found. Let's see. I found that eternal life occurs 43 times in the New Testament. 27 times in the Gospels in Acts, 9 times in Paul's letters, 7 times in the general epistles. Now listen to this, 43 times in all of the New Testament, 23 of them are from John, 23 of them. It's obviously a really important phrase. Over half of the times this phrase occurs in your New Testament, it's from John. So I just talked you through that first step. So number one, first thing we do in a study like this is we are going to identify every time it's used. We do that by taking Strong's number, whether online or in a concordance, and you find every time that word is used. So secondly, after you have identified and written down or typed out every time, every passage that uses that phrase, now what you're going to do is you're going to analyze them. And here's one of the things I want to say about a word study. I already told you, you don't need advanced degrees. You don't need lots of money. But one of the things about a word study is, as people have said about a variety of things, it is not difficult. It is simple. But it is not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. What do I mean by that? It's not a complex. What we talk through here is not a hard process to just wrap your mind around. The hard part is it takes work. You've actually got to put the work in. And so now I just want to show you how you, after you have found these verses, how do you analyze them? So here's the next step. You are now going to look at every time, and you're going to write down what the word means in that context, noticing, again, those important ideas that are associated with this word or phrase. So let me just show you how I do. Well, actually, let me tell you a couple ways you could do it, and then I'll show you how I do it. You could do this digitally, and that may, for some of us, be the easiest thing. You just get this whole list of verses, and you say copy, and you paste them in a Word document. You've got all the verses right there, and then under each verse, you just type out the things you learn. That could be a way to do it. Some of us may say, okay, we're not digital people, and so we write down every one on a piece of paper, and then we write out alongside what we learned from it. And some of us, and this is my personal preference, may do both. Pastor was making fun of me this morning that I brought this. Actually, Paul did too. But so I write very small. And so this is mine. This is every time that it occurs in the Gospel of John. This is 1 John. And I wrote it down. Yeah, very, very small. Yeah, very, very small. I probably better put that away. So what I did is I went through every one of these verses, and I just wrote down what strikes me about it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Go to the Gospel of John. Go to Gospel of John, chapter 3. As we have done time and time and time again in our study, I think if we're going to understand what John means by this, look at all the ways, all the times that he's used it before in the Gospel of John. And so I'm just going to show you the way that I went through it and began to analyze these. We're going to start in John 3:16. The first time that John uses this phrase is in John 3:16, most famous verse for many in the Bible. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So I'm just going to tell you what I wrote. So it doesn't have to be crazy, deep theological things. So here's what I wrote beside that. The result of believing in the Son. Eternal life is the result of believing in the Son. So that's what I wrote for the first one. The next time it occurs is in John 3:36. "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." All right? So here's what I wrote. Again, the result of believing in the Son. And then I wrote, but here it's clearly a presently possessed reality. Do you notice that? It says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life," which may strike, if it's like, you know, we're thinking eternal life, okay, that's way out there, that may be surprising the first time we read it because it says he has it. So I wrote that down. It's the result of believing in the Son, but it's a presently possessed reality. That's what I wrote down. So already, I think we can begin to see what I'm talking about with components of meaning or associated ideas, because in both of these, I already, I think, probably was noticing something. Both of these talk about believing in the Son for eternal life. So I wrote down that the basis of eternal life is believing in the Son. I'm already noticing that. I've read two verses, and I can already get this idea. Now, I'll tell you, as we read through these, you're going to see this over and over and over and over again. So let's just keep reading. I'm going to try to read all these today, just so that we can. The next time is in chapter 4 and verse 14. As I read these, I'm not going to tell you everything that I found out. I just want you to begin to, even in your own mind, allow certain repeated ideas to just stand out to you. So chapter 4 in verse 14 says, Jesus says to the woman at the well, "Whoever drinks of the water I will give him shall never thirst. But the water I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Okay? I'm not going to comment on all these. Let's go to the next one. 4 verse 36. Jesus again says, "Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and reaps together may rejoice." Actually, at this point, there was one other thing I was going to show you. So I said I do both. So I wrote down things here, but then I'm also digital. And so this is these are all of my verses where I go through and I just write the things that I learn about them. Just type it out to the side. After I've done this, I then transfer it over to something digital. And some of you may like that. You may write it down first, and then you may want to put it somewhere where you can maybe keep it more long term. So let's go to the next one. 4 and verse 36. Oh, I just said that one. Sorry. 5 and verse 24. Now, hint, hint, hint. Chapter 5 is a very important part of John about eternal life. So 5 and verse 24, and I'm actually going to read down through verse 29. Even though the phrase only occurs one time, we're going to see a lot of ideas that are important coming together. So 5 and verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. So I'm just going to give you some of the fruit of my study here. One of the things that I began to notice as I wrote down things as I went through all these is that for John, he can use eternal life and life synonymously. So here's what I mean. Sometimes when John uses the word life, he's not just thinking about our present mode of existence. He's thinking about something more. We begin to see it here because he says in verse 24, this person has eternal life, and then at the end of verse 24, has passed out of death into life. So one time he says eternal life, the other time he says life. So there's a connection there. There's a synonym there. Again, we notice in this verse that a person has eternal life. It can be a present possession. Again, if you're like me, that could be surprising to us. We might think that eternal life is out there, someone is waiting for it. But not to John, at least right here. Let me read another one. 5, verse 39. And thank you, bear with me, because I think at the end we're going to see how fruitful something like this can be. 5 and verse 39. Jesus says, you search the scriptures because that in them you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. Now, to confirm what I just said, read the next verse. But you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Now, we know that he's not referring to life as just physically walking around. He's talking to them. They have life in that sense. Life is something more than that. So eternal life and life can be synonyms in John. Okay, let's go to chapter 6. These are just little things that as we read each time we read a passage, we get things confirmed or we notice a new idea. Jesus says in verse 27 of chapter 6, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal. So in some sense, it's Jesus who's giving this life, and the Father had given it to him to give. Okay, let's go down to 6 verse 40. He says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. 6 verse 47 is the next time. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. A few verses later, verse 54 is the next time. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Do you see some of these ideas that we're seeing over and over? A person can presently possess eternal life. And that present possession of eternal life, we've seen in the last couple verses, means that there's a hope of a future resurrection. You see that? And I will raise him up at the last day. So there's this present reality to eternal life. There's a future reality to eternal life. This is just developing as we keep reading. Let's look at verse, what did we just read? 54. Let's go to verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." You have words of eternal life. All right, we're getting to the end. Go to chapter 10. Got a few more to look at in John. 10 and verse 28. Jesus says about his disciples, "I give eternal life to them." Jesus is the giver of eternal life, and they will never perish. That sounds like John 3. He gives it to them, he gives eternal life, and they will never perish but have eternal life. So I give them eternal life, they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Go to chapter 12 and verse 25. At the end of today, you will say that you have looked at every time John uses eternal life in his gospel. Verse 25 of chapter 12. He says, "He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal," to eternal life. Same chapter, verse 50. "I know that his," this is Jesus talking about the Father, "I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father told me." And then the last two are both in Jesus' prayer in John 17. And again, as obviously every one of these usages is important, these are particularly so. I'll start in verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, lifting his eyes to heaven, and he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you've given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." All right, so we can now say that you have looked at every occurrence of eternal life in John. So I want to go back and take a step back and remind us what we're doing in our word study. Number one, the first thing we did is we identified every time this phrase was used. We saw it, we wrote it down, found every time. So then what we went through and did, and you would have done this differently. Obviously, we did this very quickly. You would have time to take a minute or two on each one and just write down a couple observations. You didn't have that time right now. But usually you'd go back through, you'd read every one, pray about it, think about it, say, okay, what strikes me about this? You write it down. So we've identified, we've analyzed. So now what we're going to do is we're just going to take the various things that we have learned and we're going to begin to organize them. Now, obviously I can't give you time to do that. I would love if we just broke up in small groups and you got to do that and organize them. But I'm just going to share with you kind of how this went for me. So I've talked about these ideas of whether it's components of meaning or associated ideas with eternal life. I'm just going to tell you some of them that I wrote down, and then I'm going to show you how I began to organize them. So I think you'll be able to see all these things from what we read. The first one I wrote down was this, the basis of eternal life. How many times did we see it's belief in the Son? He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who believing, eternal life, Jesus, all of those are connected. That's the first thing I wrote down. The basis of eternal life is belief in the Son, Jesus. The next thing I wrote down because of that is the source of eternal life. Where does this eternal life come from? All throughout John, we saw that it's coming from God through Jesus. It's coming from God through Jesus to people. The next thing that I noted is the timing of eternal life. This was one of the things that may have been surprising, the timing of eternal life. I noticed that very often it is now. Now, we also saw that there are a variety of times where the eternal life is future. Those who are in the graves will hear my voice. I will raise them up at the last day. So it's not saying that there's nothing out there to eternal life, but that it's emphasizing that there's something right here to eternal life. All right? So you see how these ideas are repeated? So I'm just writing these things down. Next, the nature or the state of eternal life. And I didn't know how to phrase this one. But one of the things, when I noticed that there's something now and there's also something future, one of the things that I was trying to wrap my mind around is that that means that the nature or the state of eternal life is in some sense spiritual. Because Jesus is talking to people and saying, you can possess it right now, but like outside, externally, nothing's going to change to them. It's not like they're indestructible and they're never... That's not what he's saying. There's something that's immaterial or spiritual about this. But then he does say things like this. Those of you who have this, I will raise up at the last day, that there is a bodily material aspect to this eternal life too. So I just wrote down, I didn't know how to say it, but I just wrote down the nature or the state of eternal life is both spiritual and physical. There's a spiritual part of this. There's a physical part. And then I have three ideas, and I didn't know what to call this, but three ideas that kept coming up that were connected to eternal life. So here are the ones that I found. One, knowing God. All right, that's where we finished. Knowing God, this is eternal life, Jesus says, that they may know you, the eternal God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. That I found repeated. Another one that maybe we might not have noticed since I read through it so quickly, but I think if you go back through, you would notice, is not being judged by God. We found that in John 3, we found it in John 5, we find it in other places, that Jesus says that those who possess eternal life do not come into judgment from God. One other thing, enduring existence. And this is clear from the fact that they will be raised up at the last day, they have this existence that's ongoing, but it's also clear in the passage where we saw, he who saves his life will lose it, but he who is willing to lose his life for my sake will find it. Okay? So these are just some ideas that I noticed. All right, these are associated with eternal life. Okay. So, to review, we've identified where it's used, we've analyzed each one, and now what we've begun to do is we've begun to look at what we saw when we went through, and we began to find these similar components of meaning, these other ideas that are associated, and we're trying to organize them into repeated ideas that we think are important to understanding this term. So, what's next? So, after we've done that, the fourth step is this. It's like your math teacher when she tells you, all right, there it is, now go check your work. Work back through it. There's the theorem you think it is or whatever, now go check your work. So now what you're going to do is you're going to go back through, and you're going to go back through every time, and you're going to see, was I really right about some of these things? Because sometimes you're going to write something down, and then you go back through, and you're like, okay, I think I was making that up. I think I wanted that to be the case. Or I didn't want that. And you just go back through, and you say, okay, I think I saw this. Let me go back through and see where I find it. So what I did is I took those ideas, and I started tagging every reference that I found that in. So for instance, I'll just give you an example. When I read John 3:16, I said I found this, that basis of eternal life by believing in the Son. I said I found that there. I also saw the source of eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his Son so that we could have eternal life. So the source is clear there. It's God through Jesus. The timing of eternal life, I put down for that I was not clear. I could not tell for sure because it says that they will have it. Is that something that means when they believe they have it, or is that something that's future? I couldn't make a strong statement. But then I get to later in the chapter, in verse 36, and I find the basis again. Those who believe in the Son have this. And then in that one it says that person has eternal life. It's a present possession. So I'm not going to do this for all of those. But what you do is number four, you go back and you confirm. You look at what you thought you saw and what you brought together in your organization, and you make sure that it's there. Now finally, and I actually think I'm going to finish early. This is great. All right. So finally then, here's where the rubber meets the road. This is the exciting and fun part. And I hope that this is where all the fruit of the study will come about. This is where you want to explain it. Why is all of this important? Was this just an exercise in intellectual gymnastics or why am I doing all this. I want to know, when I see this word eternal life, I want to know what it means. So now is where the rubber really meets the road. So after you confirm those ideas, you've found these components of meaning, these associated ideas, and you've confirmed that you see those in the text, and you see them at various points, and many of them you see repeated time and time again. Now you want to say, all right, what is eternal life? What is it? If I had to say it, what is eternal life? And here's how I try to do it. I usually try to do it in two ways. I want to make it, number one, a very simple definition. But number two, I want to allow myself, because we always want to nuance things, because there's a lot of information. So I want a simple definition with a longer explanation. That's what I shoot for. So I'm going to give you both of those. After I've done all of this study, I'm trying to get a simple definition of what I believe eternal life is for John, and then I'm going to try to say, all right, how can I explain this with a little more meat to it? So, here are mine. After looking at all these things, actually, you know what, right before I do this, let me wrap up what some of the main things I found from 1 John, and then I'll get to that. So here were four takeaways. Before I got to this point, I wrote down four takeaways from my study in the Gospel of John about eternal life, and here they are. These were things that I wanted to bring into my study of 1 John about this term. So here's what I found out. One, I wrote down, I must realize that life can and often does stand for eternal life, something more than the natural human way of life. Okay, that's the first thing. Second, I wrote down this, eternal life is a present possession for believers in Christ. But it has a still future awaited reality. Okay. Third, I wrote down this, and these are just takeaways. I'm not even trying to word them perfectly. I'm just trying to write down things that I learned. Third, eternal life is essentially connected to believing the words of Jesus as those from the Father. Often he's saying, if you believe my words and that he sent me, eternal life is essentially connected to believing the words of Jesus as from the Father. And then the fourth thing is that eternal life is clearly connected to a true knowledge of God, freedom from God's judgment, and an enduring existence. All right. Again, those were just my own ways of writing down these takeaways. But here is what it all comes to. If you now ask me to very simply say what John means by eternal life, here is my answer. Eternal life is the life of God. Eternal life is the life of God. It is the true spiritual life that is enduring. It is the life that's manifested in Jesus and his teaching. It is the life of true knowledge, knowing God. God knows himself. So, if you just ask me, what is eternal life? Eternal life is the life of God. Now, here's the amazing thing. John 3:16, where we started. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus into this world so that we may be part of this, that we may take part. Now, I did not say that we become God. I want to be really clear about that. But the life of God, this enduring life that humans do not naturally possess, all right, so if I say that eternal life is the life of God, here's everything, if I try to put everything that I want to say into it, and this is a bit more complex, but I'm going to try to say it as simply as I can. This is my explanation. Eternal life is the life of God that is manifested in and made available by Jesus to those who believe his word from the Father, bringing both present and future blessings to believing humanity, such as, here are the things that I learned, a true knowledge of God, freedom from judgment by God, an enduring existence like God, new spiritual life now, and ultimate resurrected life later. All right, that's a lot more. That was a lot more. I'm going to say that a few more times, because this has been the fruit of my study and what has nourished my soul in this study. So here it is again. Eternal life is the life of God. It's manifested in and made available by Jesus to those who believe his word from the Father, bringing both present and future blessings to believing humanity. Such as, here are the main blessings that we found, a true knowledge of God. If you believe what Jesus says, you truly can know God. Second, freedom from judgment by God. And third, enduring existence like God. New spiritual life now, and ultimate resurrected life later. I'm going to say it again. Eternal life is the life of God, manifested in and made available by Jesus. To those who believe, all right, there it is. I gotta land the plane. All right. To those who believe his word from the Father, bringing both present and future blessings to believing humanity, such as, here are those blessings, a true knowledge of God, freedom from judgment by God, and enduring existence like God. And what is that? New spiritual life now, and ultimate resurrected life later. That is eternal life. And so when we come to 1 John 2:25, and I will preach on this, I'll teach on this, and its significance in 1 John in future weeks. But here it is. Now, with all of that, is this sweet? This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to do this study and also learning how we can go about this study, this type of study, fruitful study in our own personal walk with you. Lord, we want to know why you have used specific words. Our pastor has recently been preaching about the fact that your word is inspired and it's inerrant. And that means that every word, every phrase has been chosen specifically by you. And so I pray that this would motivate us to look and to see why specific words and phrases were chosen by you and to allow us to see what we can learn from them. Lord, on this day in particular, we thank you for this truth about eternal life. And we thank you that this is no empty promise. This is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. And if our Lord and Savior was in the grave today, it would be an empty promise. As Paul says, we would be of all men most miserable. We would be without hope. And yet this is not like so many promises that we hear in our world. This is no empty promise. This is no lie. But this is true. And we have confidence in its truth because we serve a living Savior. And we thank you that today, as we speak to you through him who is alive, seated at your right hand. And we thank you that he's coming again to give us one day bodies that will be like his. And so may we take hope in the fact that we can now possess eternal life, and yet we eagerly anticipate the fullness of it. And we thank you for it in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.